Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Shastrikrit Prabhuji to enlighten us on Srimad Bhagavatam. So thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving us your valuable and association and time also. So thank you so much, Prabhuji. Now I would like to hand over the call to you, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. This is Canto 4, Chapter 21, and there is text 28 and 29 together. The chapter is entitled Instructions by Maharaj Prithu. So, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this is the Sanskrit. Mano Uttana Padasya Dhruvasya Api Mahepate Priya Vratasya Raja Rishir Angasya Mahitu Pitu Idarshanam Atanyesam Ajasya Cha Bhavasya Cha Kalladasya Balesha Pi Kritam Asti Gada Vritha. So, translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation, this is confirmed not only by the evidence of the Vedas, but also by the personal behavior of great personalities like Manu, Uttanapada, Dhruva, Priyavrata, and my grandfather, Anga, as well as many other great personalities and ordinary living entities exemplified by Maharaj Prahlad and Bali, all of whom were theists believing in the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead who carries a club. Purport. Narottam Das Thakur states that one has to ascertain the right path for his activities by following in the footsteps of great saintly persons and books of knowledge under the guidance of a spiritual master, Sadhu Shastra Guru Vakya. A saintly person is one who follows the Vedic injunctions, which are the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The word Guru refers to one who gives proper direction under the authority of the Vedic injunctions and according to the examples of the lives of great personalities. The best way to mold one's life is to follow in the footsteps of the authorized personalities like those mentioned here by Prithu Maharaj, beginning with Swayambhuva Manu. The safest path in life is to follow such great personalities, especially those mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Mahajanas, or great personalities, are Brahma, Lord Shiva, Narada Muni, Manu, the Kumaras, Prahlad Maharaj, Bali Maharaj, Yamaraj, Bhishma, Janaka, Sukadeva, and Kapila Muni. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Bhustaya Bhutale Shrimate Devamrita Swaminiti Namini. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Bhustaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Pashyatyadestarane Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare పంచకల్పతరువ్యశ కృపా సింధు పతితానం పావని వైష్ణవ. సో ఇన్ దిస్ వర్సెస్ పృథు మహారాజ్ ఇస్ సేయింగ్ దిస్ ఇస్ కన్ఫర్మ్డ్ నాట్ ఓన్లీ బై ద ఎవిడెన్స్ ఆఫ్ ద వేదస్ బట్ ఆల్సో బై ద పర్సనల్ బిహేవియర్ ఆఫ్ గ్రేట్ personalities like Manu, Uttanapada, etc. So in the previous verse, Prithu Maharaj basically establishes that there is, there is a supreme authority. It's like a basic principle, but it's also most important principle that there is a supreme authority that awards benefits or punishment to our activities. And in this verse he's confirming and he's quoting evidence and he's giving names of different great personalities, who followed by this and lived by this principle. It's interesting to see how one of the opulences of Krishna mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam is that he is Abhigya Swarat, that Krishna is independent. He's all-knowing and he's all-independent. Because it's interesting, we are reading the teachings of Prithu Maharaj, but we know the pastime, how he came from, the body of Vena. Here in this verse, he's quoting different authorities who lived by the principle, who were all great devotees of Krishna. So here he mentions his grandfather. He's not mentioning his father, Vena, but he mentions his grandfather, Anga, who was a great devotee. And Anga didn't have a child, so he was begging the saints and the rishis for a child, and then with the blessing, he had a child, but Vena was born. But Vena was so crooked and so cruel that even as a little child, his behavior was like so shocking. For his father, he couldn't believe it because he will butcher innocent animals, he will even drown his own friends and kill them, and he was so demoniac even as a child. So the more Vena grew up, Anga couldn't take it anymore, being soft-hearted devotee, and he was so depressed. He gives like great philosophy. First, Maharaj Anga says, it's actually people say that if you're sinful, then you don't have any child. You cannot have any child if you're sinful. But Maharaj Anga, in his realizations, he says, it's actually better those who don't have any child, they're actually blessed, than to have a child like I have, namely Vena, who was, such a bad child, so basically a demon. And on the other hand, Maharaj Anga says, actually it's better to have a bad child than to have a good child, because a good child basically binds you. You know, you fill yourself with attachments and like this, but a bad child makes you completely detached from this world. So in this way, he couldn't take it anymore. He was so embarrassed by his child, so he just disappeared. He was so depressed. Maharajanga, he didn't tell anyone where he was going. He just like left for the forest. And in the absence of Anga, they put Vena on the throne. Because like the saying goes, it's, blind uncle is better than no uncle. But when Vena came, you know, he was so cruel that there was no thieves, or there was no, no rogues, or nothing bad was happening in the country, because he was so merciless. He would just like, if he finds anyone, doing anything wrong, he would just like slaughter them. So in that sense, it was a good thing. But the other hand, Vena himself was so demoniac. He was so into himself, and he was, he would send his men to make announcements like that he's the supreme, and people, and he was threatening the brahmanas and, criticizing them for accepting charity and not worshipping king as the supreme and all these things. So after a while, the brahmanas couldn't take it anymore. It's like history repeats itself. It's like, in the absence, in for lack of a better leadership, it's always been the history that you put somebody on the throne, and then the next thing is like, it's like regrets. Oh my God, impeachment, this, that, everybody dissatisfied, everybody's talking bad about the president or the king, and they're like helpless. It said that the citizens were, like ants on a log that's being burning on both sides. Because if the leadership is bad, then naturally, the material nature starts reacting. There'll be like either ativrishti, anavrishti. There'll be like too much flood, or like drought, no water. There'll be like wars, there'll be diseases, so many things. On the other hand, you have the leader himself who's torturing the people with his foolish ideas. So it says that the citizens were like ants on a log that's being burned both sides. So this Anga left, and Vena was in charge, and the brahmanas kept going to him and to give him good guidance, but he wouldn't listen. He was like, like it says that if you give fool good advice, it'll just make him angry. Chanakya Pandit says like that. It's also said that what a goat, this animal goat, will not eat, and what a madman will not speak. So the goat will practically eat anything, so greedy. And the madman, there's no discrimination, he'll just speak anything. So this Vena was uncontrollable. So the brahmanas got together and they just chanted some high-pitched mantras and then killed him. And they got rid of him. But because he come from the lineage, he came from Maharaj Anga, this demon Vena, the brahmanas had an idea that they churned his body again through mantras, and out from Varuna's body, this Shakti Avesh Avatar, the partial expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Prithu Maharaj came. But, you know, even though he's coming from Varuna, he was extraordinary. He was, you can imagine, he was a partial expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he was completely, you know, like praiseworthy. He was so beautiful. He was so charitable, and he was so Krishna conscious, and he was teaching people how to be devotees and like this. And it kind of amazed me, because I was thinking how Krishna is the supreme independent. Krishna is supreme independent personality of Godhead, because he can choose to appear from, you know, from Varuna. I mean, it's like kind of humorous. At the same time, it's like Krishna is supremely independent. He can do whatever he chooses to. That's why Bhagavatam establishes this point in the beginning, that there is nothing that Krishna cannot do. That's where the spiritual life begins. His achintya. His achintya. You know, it's just when you say that, you know, how did Krishna do this? How did Krishna do that? You know, somebody told me in the book table, I gave them a Krishna book and the son is reading. So the child went to the father, this Indian father, and then the child is reading the Krishna book, and then the child came across this pastime of Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill. So the child went to the father and said, "Dad, how did Krishna lift Govardhan Hill with his pinky?" And this man is not a devotee, he's not read any of our books, so he doesn't know. So he brought the son to me, and then he said, "Oh, my son, have a question for you, that how is it possible that Krishna can lift a hill?" So that's what I was telling this child as much as I could. I was just telling him, you know, there's nothing that Krishna cannot do. He's Swarat. He can choose to do whatever he likes. So that's how our spiritual life begins. Krishna is inconceivable, and, you know, a devotee has faith that everything is possible for Krishna. So Krishna appeared out of the body of Varuna. And he also mentions in this verse about Prahlad and Bali. We all know the pastime of Prahlad. Prahlad appeared in the family of Hiranyakashipu, the greatest of the demons. And Bali was also, you know, coming in the family of demons, but he was an extraordinary devotee. Completely surrendered, Atma Nivedana. He's completely surrendered as an exemplary king unto Krishna, unto Vamanadeva. So Prahlad appeared in the family of demons, and Bali appeared in the family of demons, and Bali had so much going against him. Even his own guru threatened Bali, "You shouldn't, you know, worship this Vamana, you shouldn't entertain him, he's a cheater." Because Sukracharya was concerned, if Bali, you know, associates with Vamanadeva, then he was going to give him all the wealth and everything, and he wouldn't get much from his disciple. So, you know, everything was going against him, but Bali, you know, rejected its spiritual master, because it says anybody who is not teaching you about Supreme Personality of Godhead or how to surrender to Supreme Personality of Godhead, that's not a guru, and that person should be immediately rejected. So Bali got all the odds against him. He surrendered. He surrendered unto Vamanadeva and gave everything to him. And Prahlad, even though he appeared in the family of demons, everything was going against him. Like, you know, we think we have difficulties in our spiritual life. But imagine the level of sincerity that Prahlad had. It was just, you know, there were no impediments. Prabhupada explains, actually, if we want to make spiritual advancement, there are no impediments. There are no material impediments. Because we can see Prahlad, he was just like a, you know, basically a fetus in the womb of mother. And he was hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and making spiritual advancement. So it's like, you know, Prabhupada explains this, you know, where is the question of obstacles? There are none. It's just depending on how serious and sincere we are, then we make swift progress. So it's interesting how Krishna puts exalted devotees in the family of demons just to show us. Like, in other words, Krishna didn't leave any stones unturned. He staged all kinds of drama in the Bhagavatam. So in the future, we have nothing much to complain about. You just read about this, what their great personalities had to go through, and our problems are so trivial. You're just reading about, you know, Srila Prabhupada's life, Prabhupada Lila Amrita. Is there anything that Prabhupada didn't go through? Whatever we are going through, if you just look at what Prabhupada went through, it was just like thousands of times greater. If we think like we have financial difficulties, you look at what Prabhupada went through. He had like, you know, not even change of clothes, you know, at one stage, even though he was, you know, according to his astrology, he was predicted to be the, you know, he'll be one of the richest men in India. But, you know, he didn't have even change of clothes. And if he had health problem, we look at Prabhupada's health. He was not the greatest. And if we think like we have problems in the family, Srila Prabhupada's family was not very favorable to what he was doing. Even though he's pure devotee, he's delivering millions and millions of souls to this day, but still his family members wouldn't listen to him. Like this, whatever we are going through, if you just look at the lives of devotees, you know, they went through something far, far greater. So sometimes, you know, devotees appear in the family of demons, and sometimes the demons appear in the family of devotees. There was this Narakasura, basically son of Krishna, son of Bhumi Devi. But in their bad association, he became an asura. You know, he became one of the greatest demons. So, what are the chances? You can be the child of Krishna, but if you're terrorizing the citizens and you're, you know, blaspheming the Brahmana, then Krishna had to get rid of them, just as an example. And there are so many examples like that where, you know, Kaikeyi, in the association of this crooked mantra, you know, became turned against this Supreme Personality of Godhead, most attractive, all attractive. And, you know, it's possible, it's totally possible. So it's very interesting, actually, when we read the scriptures, how these things are happening. I was thinking of the example of Vibhishan. Vibhishan, even though he's the brother of Ravana, but, you know, he was a great devotee. So that's what it says. It's guna karma. Krishna says in the Gita, the chaturvarnyam maya srishtam guna karma vibhagasa. That it's by qualities. It's not by birth. It's by one's actions and one's behavior and one's qualities. Then that decides what kind of person that is. Not just, you know, saying like, oh, you know, I come from a Brahmana family, then I'm automatically a Brahmana. No, it's that's a misunderstanding. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he taught us by his personal example in his Leela, in his pastime. You know, whoever it is, if they're surrendered to Krishna, if they're pure devotees of Krishna, regardless of what that person's social status is, Mahaprabhu elevated him to the greatest standard. And if somebody was very proud of their birth or knowledge or, you know, abilities, musical skills or whatever, Mahaprabhu showed by his example that he had nothing to do with them. So it's the pure devotion. That's the essence. Like we were discussing the other day in one of our readings that, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he summarized the essence of all the Vedic scriptures. There's volumes and volumes and volumes. You know, Srimad Bhagavatam and the Puranas and so many teachings, they all, you know, could be very confusing. Very confusing, actually, for an ordinary person. Like here, Prabhupada gives the list of Mahajanas. Like there's Brahma, there's Shiva, there's Narada Muni, there's Manu, Kumaras. Still, we meet people to this day that they cannot understand. Even though they say like, oh, you know, I come from... maybe we can mute that. Somebody's making some noises, like, please. So, there's so many Mahajanas, Prabhupada is listing. So even if somebody says, oh, I come from Brahma Sampradaya, I come from Shiva Sampradaya, you know, I'm a follower of, you know, the Manus, this is my Gotra, that is my Gotra, like this. But you see that in their behavior and their philosophy and their lifestyle, they're not really understanding anything that their Sampradaya, their teachers or have taught. The people in general, they cannot understand. That's why Bhagavatam says, this is the great secret. Dharmasya tatvam nihitam guhayam. Guha means greatest secret. Krishna says the same thing in the Gita, that this knowledge is Raja Vidya Raja Guyam. It's the king of knowledge, but it's also the topmost of secrets. So even if somebody says, oh, I'm coming from this Sampradaya, I'm a Brahmin, I'm from Gujarat, I'm from Maharashtra, I'm from, you know, Tirupati, like this, but do you see that they don't really understand? They cannot understand. To be honest, unless somebody is reading Prabhupada's books, they will never understand in Kali Yuga what is the essence of all the Vedas. It's impossible. They claim to be this and that, but like Krishna says in the Gita that Vyavesa Atmika Buddhi Ekeha Kuru Nandana Bahusaka Hi Anantasya Buddhayo Vyavesayana. Krishna says unless somebody is Krishna conscious and they're focused, you know, it's impossible for people to, you know, attain the goal because they're many branched. You know, they have millions of ideas and visions and goals and philosophy. You meet people all the time like this. even if they say, like, I come from this sampradaya, that sampradaya. So the point I'm trying to make is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, understanding the fallen condition of us, came to give the easiest, most easiest process of self-realization. Still, we're finding it difficult. That's how that's the condition of the living entities in this age. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made it so easy. If you want to attain perfection, you know, he just said, chant Hare Krishna and take prasad. From that, you will get strength to do everything else. Like the saying goes, you know, do what's possible now and then, you know, we'll ultimately do what's impossible. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's process, Kevala Ananda Kanda, it's very joyful. It's joyfully performed. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu summarized that he said, Jivera Swarupa Hoy, Krishnera Nitya Das. That what is the nature of the living entity? People have all kinds of ideas. The nature of the soul, if there is soul or not, and if there is, what is soul and where it's situated. One day in the book table, one completely drunk South Indian Christian boy came to me to tell me how the soul is in the spine, in the spinal cord. And he was so intoxicated. And top of that, he tells me, like, oh, I don't want to give you too much information in one day. Every time I see you, I will give you a little lesson every time I see you. I was thinking, oh, God, you know, how degraded. So people have no idea what is soul, where it's situated. And then when people understand there is soul, then they have no idea that, you know, we are not the soul. The Supreme Soul. That's why Prabhupada specifically chose these words. Because Prabhupada knew, you know, people of Kali Yuga, they will misinterpret. So, like, Prabhupada specifically phrased, coined these terms, like, you know, Super Soul, and, you know, like, even in the Vedas, it's there. It's there. It's like Param Brahman, Param Atma, Param Dhamma. You know, like there are words that differentiate the soul. Atman, Paramatman, Brahman and Parabrahman and Ishvara and Parameshwara. And like this, there is differentiation, but people cannot understand. People think like, oh, now that I understand I'm soul, I must be, you know, the soul. I am God, like this. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, your soul, but what kind of soul are you? You're infinitesimal, part and parcel of the Supreme Soul, Krishna. So he explained the constitutional position of the living entity is Krishna Das, Nitya Krishna Das, eternally, not just servant of Krishna, but eternally, we're servants of Krishna. And that's the summary of all the Vedas. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we were singing the other day, the song, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur takes it a little further, and he says that Jiva Doya Krishna Naam Sarva Dharma Sar. So we know that, okay, now that I know that I'm a spirit soul, and now that I know that I'm part and parcel of the Supreme Soul. So what do I do next? And Bhaktivinoda Thakur again simplifies it by saying, Jiva Doya. Okay, now you show mercy to other jivas. I mean, we begin with showing mercy to our own self, our own soul. Many times we are enemy of our own self. So Jiva Doya means you show mercy to the conditional living beings by enlightening them in Krishna consciousness. And Krishna Naam. And then you know, we chant the names of Krishna. And what does Bhaktivinoda Thakur say? That this is the essence of all the Vedic teachings, sarva dharma sar. Just like we take, you know, mango and we juice it, and we get a glass of mango juice, or we get, you know, pineapple juice, or like this, you know, when you get the essence of all the Vedas, only these two principles, there's nothing greater. That chanting Hare Krishna and teach others how to chant Hare Krishna is so simple, actually. And we have accumulated over billions and countless births. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, anadi karma phale. In other words, we've been doing crazy materialistic activities that bury us in bad karma since time immemorial for many, many creations and dissolution. So it's going to take some time. That's why Prabhupada would always remind us, it's a gradual process. Because we come from this, you know, modern society, wherever we are, everything has to happen yesterday. Like, you know, everything is fast-paced, 5G and instant coffee and, you know, Amazon Prime, and everything is like superficial and fake and immediate. So we kind of get conditioned. We get conditioned by all this corporation to want results immediately. But we have to understand, it took us a while to get diseased. It's also going to take some time to get cured. It's not immediate, especially nothing good. You get it immediately. Can you imagine like planting a sandalwood tree, for example? Or a mango tree, or a coconut tree. The benefits will be immense, but it's going to take some time because it's valuable. It's really valuable. Like this, we are conditioned by our surroundings. This modern day, this Kali Yuga, is definitely not very conducive for spiritual life, for peace of mind, for patience, for developing goodness, tolerance, all these qualities. Like my guru gives the example, he gave this example when he was speaking in New Zealand. He said, just like in New Zealand, the farmers, they keep this sheep for getting wool. So when the sheep gets really big and filled with wool, then one fine day the farmer brings a buzzer, a hair clipper, and he shaves off the wool from the sheep. Like this, Kali Yuga basically takes a buzzer, takes a clipper, and just shaves off all the good qualities of the living entities. And, you know, everything is going against us. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, you know, we have to be patient. The same thing the Goswamis taught us. Enthusiasm, determination, and patience. This is like the success formula. So, it's very easy, actually, by chanting Hare Krishna and taking prasadam. You know, gradually we will be able to attain success in Krishna consciousness. So these are some of the thoughts. If any of the devotees have any questions or comments or anything you would like to share, then you can please... Please do so.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much. Please go ahead, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Very, very interesting and very beautiful class. I had one question while you were talking about the different kings.
Is this Preeti?
Yes. Actually, I'm on the way, so I thought I'll dial in. Yes.
Oh, thank you. I'm blessed.
Prabhu. Okay. Thank you for the lovely class. Yeah, I was thinking when you were talking about the kings, the different kings like Prithu and the negative aspects of different kings like Vena and others. I was asked this question once about Duryodhan and maybe even Ravana for that matter. Why is it that they are seen as demons, but apparently there is no complaint either in the Mahabharata or in the Ramayana about their rulership, in the sense the citizens seem to be very happy with them, then why did the Lord have to take such a drastic step against them just because they had certain negative qualities? But however, their citizens never seem to have any issues with them, in the sense that their leadership was good. So how do you answer such a question?
That's a good question. In one lecture, my Gurudev discusses this point. Like, for example, Duryodhan, he was expert manager in terms of managing economic development and all this warfare. But the only thing is, it's just he was not Krishna conscious. So from Krishna's point of view, that's the most important thing. Like this is famous, is one of my favorite verses, right? It says that, what is this? Something like mantra, tantra, japa, tapa, jatir, apranasya, hidehasya, mandalam, lokaranjanam. Like if everything is going nice, like, but if that person is not Krishna conscious, then it's like decorating a dead body. Like we've seen in sudras, they decorate the dead body and they celebrate, sing and dance and do fireworks and like this. But it's like there's no life there. So according to Krishna's point of view, Krishna saw them as weeds. It's just like Prithu Maharaj was saying in this verse and previous verse, there is a basic principle that, we should be Krishna conscious. And, that was lacking. They were not only not Krishna conscious, they were like inimical. They were anti-Krishna. So it's just like what we have today. All over the world, people are the leaders are just promising economic development. But, they're least concerned about something lasting, long-lasting, eternal life of the citizen. So, it's like a similar situation. They were just, there's no Krishna bhakti hinasya. They didn't have any Krishna consciousness. So, Krishna had to remove those so-called expert managers and put somebody else in the seat.
Yes, I get it. Okay. Yeah, makes sense, Prabhupada. Thank you for that answer. Thank you very much for the lovely class as well. Very thought-provoking. Thank you, Prabhupada.
Thank you, ma'am.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanavat Pranam. Very, very beautiful class, Prabhu. Thank you so much for such a beautiful class.
Thank you, Mata.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a wonderful class. So many instructions to follow. So if any devotee has any questions or comments for Prabhuji, okay, so Prabhuji, can we end the call here if no one has any comments or questions? Devantam Kalpavibhishya Kripa Sindhu Evcha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Anant Koti Vaishnavand Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai His Great Sashram Prabhu Ki Jai Thank you so much Prabhu
Hare Krishna.